Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
How many guys, the strongest relationships of your life are here at this church? Can I see your hands? See, that's, I'm telling you, that's a good place to be. Man, you're surrounded by winners. You're surrounded, you know what? See, Adam messed the whole thing up. And what he did is he disrupted God's authority, that the government of God on the earth. When God said, look, all this is yours, just don't partake of this tree. Well, he, of course he did. You know, he and Eve, and you know, it's interesting that sin came into the world through a woman, and the Savior came into the world through a woman. God just so amazingly redemptive. But Jesus, Jesus was born a virgin birth. Why? Because there was a new type of man that was coming on the earth. And he lived his life, and he grew in wisdom and stature and the knowledge of God and in favor with God and man. And because God had ministry in his life, okay, that's the why on the favors. The favor of our life is God's fortune on our life, and favor is because he's put ministry in us. And the ministry of Jesus then takes us to the suffering and the team building and the suffering and the cross and the death. And he died, and he went to the grave, and the grave lined up the resurrection. And the resurrection, you know, it's Easter. It's the day we go to church. Everybody goes to church. And this Easter will be the 20th anniversary of us being on this property as a church here in Tulsa. Just an amazing run. God's done so much here, and we're still building it out. I mean, the plans are put together, and the build out is happening for the field house. It's going to go over in the distribution center, I'll talk about that maybe a little bit here in a bit. But you know, the death and the resurrection, and we're thinking, man, the resurrection, that's it. Man, God sent his son Jesus so that he could pay the price for our sin, which is awesome. And then his life could come in, which is probably better. It's beyond awesome. But that doesn't stop there. Why did Jesus resurrected so that he could ascend? And the reason he ascended is so, now listen to me, so that Isaiah, the prophecy in Isaiah 9 can come to play, where it said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. Okay, so God, Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus ascended to heaven, he commanded the disciples to go to the upper room and wait, so the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, could come upon them. And then he said, and you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. When that power comes upon you, that power, listen, see, Jesus didn't come to earth to establish a religion. Jesus came to earth to reestablish God's government. The government's on his shoulder. And then the next verse there in Isaiah 9, it says, and the increase of his government, there'll be no end. See, this is designed to just build and keep building and build. And what's amazing to me is that government is about language and, of course, how we do things, our culture. It's about the vision that we have as a people, as a community of people. It's about the authority that we walk in. You know, the Bible says that we can lay hands on the sick and they recover. You know what that is? Just the authority of the new government. The government that God's established in us. And I look at this life that God's given us, and I begin to think about, man, so many great things. And you guys that I haven't personally met, the first Sunday of every month, Sandy and I go to the dock and just visit with all the guests and everybody that we can. And we call that 101. But let me just give you full disclosure, okay? Because so much of this, you know there's a backstory, and you know there's an agenda. And there's an agenda with 101 and guests and visitors, is that because 101 is like this big, massive funnel that we try to get everybody into that funnel. And so what it funnels down to God's purpose on your life. See, that's the whole idea, is to for you just to be fulfilled, have the most fulfilling life that you could ever imagine. I mean, more fulfilling than you could ever imagine. And I think about it, just the video of Kenan. You know, Kenan's so amazing. You know, Kenan is on staff and oversees all the game days, what we call service days, Wednesdays and Sundays, all those teams, all the greeters, all the seaters, all the parking lot people, all the people that really honestly set the stage, listen, to get people in that funnel. Man, that's what we want. We don't want to funnel you onto some committee. And if you are on a committee, do we have committees? If you're on a committee, great, be committee-ized. But or a group or something like that. The reason is to so that you can walk in God's purpose in your life. Because between 8 and 9 out of 10 people sitting in church today in America have no idea what their purpose is. That's ridiculous. I know my purpose. I don't wonder every day. I don't get up and go, man, is my purpose changing? My purpose is and will be for the rest of my life to help you fulfill your purpose. That's it. So what do? We got to make it simple. I'm a simple man. How do we do that, man? What do? If you're a guest here, we want to invite you to 101 the first Sunday of every month. And you know what? You might say, well, but I've been here for 3 months. I met some people before the 9:30 service that have been here for 2 months. And just, my gosh, it was like a home week, me and them. Man, they said, man, we've been here for 2 months, and this was said, and this was done, and this happened. And, you know, I called my sister, and I said, man, I'm going to Guts. And she said, oh, my gosh, I went to Guts in the 90s. I went there for 7 years, and then I got married and moved away. But in those 7 years, please tell those people they saved my life. See, that's the trail we want to leave on this earth. Life, change lives everywhere you look. I've got so many dreams. Do you have any dreams about this stuff? I mean, I'm dreaming these days. I'm like, oh my gosh, because we're in such a healthy place. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what hits me. What hits me so much is I run into so many people. It was Jeremy and Nina a couple months ago. I ran into them, and it's like this promotion just went boom. Like 4 or 5 months ago, it was swag. It was just boom. It's just this promotion. Just it's like everybody around me is getting promoted, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. And it just makes me want to run harder because everybody else is running hard. And it's like, man, I'm going to run faster, and we're going to be better, and we're going to be stronger, and the whole thing. And that, but let me just tell you, that whole thing begins the momentum of getting better and stronger. And man, even changes. Man, there's changes. Let me tell you, the changes in front of you, son, are going to be remarkable. Man, don't let any kind of fear, don't let any kind of anxiety come into your heart just because there's a little bit of change. I'm telling you, it's a word of the Lord for you. Man, a little bit of change, man, write this down. A little bit of change is great. Drastic change sometimes is different. But when we can dictate the change that's in our lives, if we can say, okay, I'm going to change this up a little bit. I'm going to start wearing breeches without belts. I'm going to make some changes. But if we look at our lives, what's going on around us, oh my gosh, I just talked to Jaime. They own a gym called Phoenix, and believe in God for increase. And he said, you know, we started the year and man, things decreased. And it's like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And then next thing you know, 2 weeks later, we looked and things had increased, and they'd increased 20%, which is what he was believing for increase for the year. But if he'd have taken the first report, man, he could have thought, man, we got to batten down the hatches. We got to pare back a little bit. What can we stop doing? Let me just tell you, don't take your foot off the throttle. Please don't, man. We're in a time of promotion right now. When I say we, that means y'all. Man, we're in a time of promotion, and that's what I'm going to preach. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what I hear back there. I heard a couple woos from the risers. Man, the risers start wooing. It's on, baby. We'll take on all comers. We're in. Okay, but But here's the deal, man. It's revival. That's what promotion is in our lives. It's just revival. It's like God's doing something. Man, every place I go, I mean, we got enough money now. See, resources are never the issue. Vision's always the issue. Because provision and resources follow vision. You got a vision for your marriage? If you don't, let me tell you, your marriage is going to be rocky. I'll just tell you, you're going to be just muddling your way through it. If you got a vision for your marriage, man, if you got a vision for your business, you got a vision for your life, if you got a vision for tomorrow, let me tell you, tomorrow's going to be increase and overflow in your life. That wasn't a dramatic pause. I'm just really trying to figure out where I'm going with this. But with that revival, listen, somebody's been here a few weeks, shout it out. What's next after that revival? Deliverance. With that revival comes deliverance. Man, God's delivered. So there's things now where you go, man, I wish I could run just a little bit faster. Man, you know what? Some things are going to get unhooked from you and you'll be able to. And then, wait a minute, with that deliverance, on the heels of that, the product of that, we hear the sound of abundance. Man, I'm telling you, there's so few people, sorry, there's so few people that even understand living in abundance. And it's God's will for our lives. I've come to give you life, and life more. You know, and actually the literal translation of that word from the Greek is super abundance. I've come to give you life and life of the life of super abundance. And with that abundance comes, and I'll tell you, last week old timers had said, man, I just preach myself happy. Let me tell you, what I preached, the effect it had on my life, I got up every day with the sentiment, because what I saw and how I felt sometimes didn't line up with it. But throughout the day, every day this week, up to today, I even got up and thought, you know what, I'm strong. Why? Because last week we preached, let the weak say. So what are you today? What are you today? What? No matter what you see, no matter how you feel, what are you today? In Sepulpa, Skytook, watching online, what are you today? Here in Tulsa, what are you today? Man, you've got to, let me tell you, you've got to speak that. You've got to be bold as a dadgum lion. Man, you walk in that doctor's office, I'm strong. Man, how you doing? Man, I'm just telling you, I'm strong. I'm strong as goat's breath today. You want some? Here we go. Let's go. But see, we've got to look at that. But we've got a dream too. I'm thinking about that field house. And I've been thinking about that field house for 5 years. And I'll tell you why. I run into all these, Keenan, poster boy for this, raised without a dad, came into church, met all these guys that, do you understand? Guts has a culture of fatherhood in it. It does. It really does. I mean, people might even scold you and correct you. People give you an attaboy. People will show up at your events. People will show up at your kids' events. See, but I look at it and like Little League sports, I want this place to be full of Little Leaguers. But it's hard because the families might not have enough money. And they may not have been picked for the competitive travel team. And I'm thinking, well, you know what let's do? Let's build a field of dreams over there and let's let kids dream. Let's teach them how to hit curveballs. Let's teach them how to run routes. Let's teach them how to make a tackle. See, all of those things factor into life. They do. Hitting a curveball, man, if you're just taking BP, man, you could just spray that thing all over the park. You could hit in the gap. You could hit it out of the park. But they start throwing different kinds of pitches. You got to learn how to hit different kinds of pitches in life. Run pass route, catch a ball, good catch. Man, keep your eye on the ball. There's so many things that factor into life that you learn in Little League. And And what about single mamas? What if we were there for Kenan when he was, instead of being there for when he was 18, what if we were there when he was 8? See, and I don't, you know, I mean, I'm just dreaming. I'm just telling you, I'm just, and it's, now you got to attach leadership to dreaming. And I think about that in, Joseph was great with dreams. And they even referred to him as a dreamer, but, and we've all heard the stories, and I'm just going to kind of swerve in today. I'm not going to cover all the details. So, but you know, Joseph was a shadow of Jesus. That's who he was. He was a type and a shadow of who Jesus is. And you're going to hear, you're going to be able to see what I'm talking about here in these verses in Genesis, the 37th chapter, Genesis 37 and verse 18. Now, when they saw him afar off, Joseph, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. See, that's what happened in Jesus' life. That's what happened in Moses' life. That's what happened. See, there's a type of that in the Old Testament because that's what happened with Jesus. And that's spiritually, that's how even mentally and emotionally it feels to us. They're conspiring against me. Man, they don't want us to win. And then they said to one another, look, here's what's interesting. Look, this dreamer's coming. Look, this dreamer's coming. Look, this preacher's coming. Look, this builder's coming. Look, this mother's coming. Look, this little leaguer's coming. And then come, therefore, and let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And then we'll say some wild beast devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams when we kill the dreamer. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, we're not killing him. And when he said that, he said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and don't lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Now, you know, here he is. He's got this coat of many colors on. He's already been able. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped him of his coat of many colors that was already on him. And they took him and they cast him into a pit. Now listen, this is where the thing gets personal for us. And the pit was empty because there was no water in it. See, what was that pit previously? It was a well. Well, you know, it's interesting because the last few months, this concept of a well has come up in our services, in our messages here and there. It's kind of just trickled in. You know, well, produce water. The anniversary weekend of the church in December, and even in September when, man, I taught on prophecy and just the prophecy that God's word brings to our lives, and not a little bit was the gift of prophecy, but it was to try to broaden the scope of the prophetic in our lives. And then we brought a real deal, legit prophet in the first week of December to our anniversary service from Bogota. And you understand, we are still feeling the effects of that weekend in our lives today. That's how powerful it was, okay? But this pit was formerly a well. So what was the missing ingredient of this pit was water, was the word. See, here's what's interesting. The reason they couldn't kill Joseph is because in the beginning, when God made the heavens and earth and they were void, dark and void, he turned, the Bible says that in Genesis that God hovered over the waters. It might come up on the screen, hopefully at some point. But God hovered over the waters. And that word hover means, it's kind of like when a plant or an animal, or when they're reproducing, there's a gestation period. Okay? Or when they're producing, there's a gestation period. And that's the word that's synonymous, that's translated, that God hovered over those waters that were dark and void, and he said, be light. And light appeared, and the form came. And the reason they couldn't kill Joseph is, even with his dream, that is because God hovered over it. And see, that's what God's doing in your life right now. You might feel like that your life's void and it's without form, or the dream is that, and I'll tell you what's hard for me is so many, and I believe this is equally as hard for you, that so many of the dreams I have in my life are contingent upon you. The field house is contingent upon you. But I have a dream that we can help a lot of little kids. We can help a lot of families. We can start our own little league and encourage kids. And kid gets hit by a pitch, it's like, look, it's not going to kill you. Rub some dirt on it. Get back in there and take your cuts. We want to make it hard for kids to quit later on in life. Let there be light, and there was light, and the Spirit of God was hovering. God's hovering over your life right now. You might feel like that you're, and you know what's interesting about this gestation as well, when you think of Joseph, is Joseph had the pit, Potiphar's house, and the prison. None of those were, you'd think, well, none of them are position A for his life, yet they were all, and it's funny because I think about that, and what I know of women and pregnant women is what I've experienced, and I've done it 3 times, and now I guess I've done it with grandbabies, but I'm not an expert, but I just know it's hell on wheels when you're the husband, I guess. Anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But and you don't eat a burger with onions, I guess, when you want to motivate, help your wife with the kind of thing. She's like, she did strike me. I just want you to know. Taylor was a ridiculous kid, because Taylor had a head, and that head, he had like this deal coming out of his, I don't know what it was. The doctor like pulled him out, and I'm looking at him, Sandy can't see him, and I'm looking at him, and Sandy's looking at my face. She's going, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. He's got a head deal. It's like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It really wasn't what I expected. But I think his head's fine now. Taylor, you mind standing? It turned out good, so whatever it is you're dealing with. But anyway, this gestation thing, it's not just hours and days and months, it's trimesters. And I think about that as how God, in my life, I see trimesters and things that are happening. And for Joseph, there was the pit, there was the Potiphar's house, there was a prison. Those are just trimesters to get him to his dream. And what was God doing during those times? God was hovering over him. Why couldn't they kill him? Because God was hovering over him. Man, why is that dream still in your life? Because God's hovering over your life. God's hovering over that life. Why? Because the dream in there, and you'll say, well, is that dream from God? I don't know that God cares. I think that God just wants you to be able to live the life that fulfills your dreams. Why not you? I mean, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord. See, we've got to be those people. And when I think about this, I go to 2 Peter, when Peter wrote that we, in the King James Version, it says, we have a more sure word of faith, a more sure word of prophecy. There's a prophetic, I love the prophetic, but in 2 Peter 1, it says, and so we have a prophetic word confirmed. That's what the word is that's in our life. That's what that Bible is that you're looking at. It's a confirmed prophetic word in your life. And what God does as you read that word, as you study that word, as you profess that word, God hovers over his word to perform it. See, that's what God's doing. And what's it doing? Man, it's baking on the inside of you. It's percolating on the inside of you. There's something being developed. Why? Because God started a work in you. And Paul wrote to the mature church at Philippi, because he didn't just write to the congregants. He wrote to the deacons and the bishops too in that church. Man, it was an established church. And you know what it said? He said, God's faithful to perform the work, to complete the work that he started in you. How does he do that? He hovers over your life. Man, he's not taking control of your hands or your tongue or your... No, you know what he's doing? He's just hovering over your life. It's to provide for you. It's to protect you. Man, it's to see you through that the light will shine in the darkness. Why? Because God's hovering over... The way God does anything is the way God does everything. God's hovering over your life. And what's he saying? Bob, what's he saying to your life? He's saying, be light. That word light is the very first word in the Hebrew translated Messiah. Be Messiah. Man, the Lord and King. See, Jesus was a king, and he wasn't the king of the Jews. He was the King of Kings. And the reason he was the King of Kings is because there's a government that he's establishing on this earth, and it's on his shoulder. And you know what? It's on the inside of us now. So he's called us to be a king on this earth, and he's in heaven as the King of Kings. That's why he said, look, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And everything you touch is going to prosper. Everything you put your hand to. Don't give up. Cancer cannot kill you. Fear that comes and you receive, accept that fear attached to it can. The devil can't bankrupt you. The devil can't take your marriage. No, you know what you've got to do? You've got to let the hovering God, that gestation period that's going on in your life right now, you need to let that hovering God perform his will, which is his word in your life. Can you receive that today? Man, what are you going through? Are you in a pit? Are you in Potiphar's house? Are you in the prison? God's hovering over his word to perform it. You're in that pit. You just got to bring some word in. What does it do? That pit, that well begins to and floats you right to the top and out. See, that's the will of God for our lives. Man, that pit that you're in today is not your destiny. Because God's hovering over your life right now. There's a protective covering over your life. And so much so, when you're in these church services, you rarely sin. Like, have you sinned, son? How old are you? So it's easy for you to get into sin, right? Like sin, it's like, whoop, shoot, what'd you do? I think I just sinned. I think this is, shoot. I better get it right, right? Is that how you live? That's like every day, right? But you've been sitting in here for an hour and a half or so, and you haven't sinned. How amazing is that? That's like a personal best for you, isn't it? That's like a record. So amazing. How old are you? Yeah, 18. Any fellas in here have been 18? You feeling him? It's like, shoot, how'd I get in this mess, right? That's your life now. That's why God's hovering over you. But you know what? You get around the right people, that's all that matters. What you do doesn't matter. Being in the right place with the right people does. Why? Because there's a covering. There's a protection that God gives us. There's strength. One can set 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Where two is touching anything agree, it'll be done. A threefold cord isn't easily broken. Man, you've got to have that in your life. Man, these guts groups, it's not, man, teachers. I'll be honest with you. I went to them and said, look, start a group for public school teachers now. Now, right now. You know why? They're in the front line, and most churches are griping about what's going on in their atmosphere, their environment. And you know what? Man, I want to help them bring the culture that they carry into that situation. But you know what? It might be whomever else. You just got to team up. We just got to get people together. Two are better than one. One will fall, the other can help him up. Man, I need that in my life when I fall. I need strong people. I need patient people. I need long-suffering people. I need God-fearing and loving people in my life. that aren't going to try to, well, why'd he fall? Well, look, we knew it was going to happen one day or another. It's like, yeah, help me up. See, that's what we do in this church.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.